All right, Genesis 50. I'll read verse 21 to you shortly, but would you bow with me as we seek the Lord in prayer? Our Father, our need is great. We cannot even form right words before Thee. Apart from Thy Spirit, there is no voice. And where there might be a voice in the local assembly, it does not mean that everyone there has hearing ears. We can only look to Thee. My Father, how we need to do that as an individual and as a church. And we need hearts knowing the Lord Jesus, the infinite being of Christ. And yet He humbled Himself and took upon Him a body. And when His work was done and it was finished there on Calvary, He was laid in a tomb. But He did rise. Therein lieth our hope, for He ever liveth. Father, would You this morning give us Thy Spirit in a great measure wherein He is exalted, wherein we as Thy people come bowing in thanksgiving and in worship. Exalt Christ. If He be lifted up, He said, I will draw all men. Lord, how that would be such a pleasant sight again. The drawing of young men, young girls, and older ones, drawing to Thee. Be exalted, our Lord. Speak to us. Give us hearing ears. Give us a still, quiet heart. And let us leave with at least a little awareness of God was in that place. Give help not only to the preacher, but to these dear hearers. Help them, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 50, the last thing that Joseph said to his brothers in verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And today's title, I think, is Joseph spoke kindly unto them. Now you'll have to bear with me on some things that are not as pleasant as what I hope to close out today's message with. Joseph spoke kindly unto them. Many years have passed since first that lad, less than 17 or early 17, had a dream, two dreams. And it was the telling of those dreams that got him in trouble with his brothers. No one understood him. And you got to think that he, for a while, just lost them. It had been so long. But Providence worked out all the details, major and minor. So that I do not believe that you've got a greater type of the Lord Jesus and all the men that the book tells you about, greater than was Joseph. Everywhere you turn in his life, there is a type of Christ. And to you sitting here, I ask you the question that Paul asked the Corinthians, who maketh thee to differ? Why are you here? Have you got a good friend or a friend that's not? Will have nothing to do with church, the gospel, or Christ. But now everything in your life, as in Joseph with a dream, has a voice. But therein, we come back to the statement, you've got to learn to hear. If you will pardon me for a personal illustration here, very difficult for me. I had to go to the clinic Thursday morning for just a few minutes. And as I was walking out, there was a man and his wife. I didn't glance their way, but he called my name. And I went over there to speak with them. I've known them a long time. And he said, "Do you know this man died?" The man he was talking about was a good friend through school. I we roomed together until he left the university. He made a decision when he was a very young little boy. But he wanted nothing else to do with the church. And he was all right. Last thing he ever said to me, and there were others standing there, "The older I get, the less afraid I am to die." And I kept that and Thursday night, and it was hard to think of him in eternity. And I finally just got up and I looked back to something that I had marked some time ago that I want to read to you. It's a very short statement. One of the old 1800 preachers. And he wrote, "In a little while, your destiny will be fixed. Eternally, irrevocably fixed. And one half second of hell's torment will fill your soul with remorse, terror, and unavailing regret that in the land of hope and in the day of grace, you turned your back upon both. You refused the mercy of God in Christ, rejected His dear Son, and died in your sins. Now, folks, that's awful. But every time you turn away from not heeding and doing what you know you should be doing, you are sealing your eternal fate. Make every day count in your life in preparation for eternity. Now back to our verse. He, Joseph, spake kindly unto them. Before he ever spoke anything kind to them, he made himself very strange. And in 42:7, he said, or God said, that he spake roughly unto them. He knew them, they did not know him. You're spies. Only reason you're here is to see the nakedness of the land. I'm going to put you in prison. And after 3 days in there, he brought them all out and said, because I fear God, I'm going to let all of you go but one. If you ever see my face again, it'll be because you've got your younger brother with you. That's not speaking kindly. That's putting them in a terrible fix. And as he was saying all these things to them, they said one to another, we are barely guilty. When we saw the anguish of his soul, and we didn't help him, cast him in a pit, seeing the anguish of his soul, does that remind you of one? God looking upon the pain and agony of his dear beloved son. And when he had made his soul an offering, they knew they were guilty. They deserved that. And although their younger brothers spoke roughly, time and again he would excuse himself and he'd get away and weep because he'd been acting contrary to his nature. And the Lord shall rise up to do his strange work. I'll have you look at a verse related to that a little later. But God delights in mercy. God would have mercy upon all that would come. Judgment, he calls, is a strange work. He, no more than Joseph, enjoyed talking roughly to them, putting them in prison, sending them back home to do that which is almost impossible in their minds. Right now, God delights in mercy. Tomorrow, he may rise up to do his strange work. Now, folk, whatever actions that Joseph took towards his brothers, in none of them was there any retaliation. You're going to get even with them. Never once. You remember when Pharaoh gave his wife to him, And she bare a son, and he called that son's name Manasseh, meaning God hath made me to forget. Now he remembered the actions. He remembered the deeds that his brother did. He did not forget that. But when he said, call that first boy Manasseh, meaning that he had forgotten, it is that their actions previously had no effect upon him now. That's all in the past. And he'll never bring it up. And if you are a forgiven son or daughter of God, your past is past. God will never bring it up. As a matter of fact, He cast your sins into that bottomless pit and remembers them no more. So Joseph forgot in that what they did is not affecting his life today. Must be the same with you. If you keep records of previous actions that were done against you, you yet do not know the full forgiveness of God. You must forgive if you expect to be forgiven. Well, their language to me, or their actions to me, somehow, some way, you've got to get above that to where it has no effect upon you today. Though it might be in the back of your mind and it might come up occasionally, you've got to leave it alone. For to walk with the Lord Jesus, to talk with Him, you've got to have a clean slate. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? He that hath clean hands. I do not know yet all that is involved there. I keep running it over and over in my mind. Clean hands. Anybody that gets to God's got to have clean hands, and he's got to have a pure heart. A pure heart means that there is nothing within, nothing. Human beings, their actions, and their words. Oh, if you're forgiven, you forgive and you move on. And after hearing their confessions, we are guilty. Then he commands them to do that which is going to cost them dearly, because they know their father's heart. But they finally convince him that we got to take Benjamin with us. And when Joseph saw, he left them immediately and he went into that closet there that he had, that secret place, and he wept. And then he wiped all tears from his eyes as he came back and sat down with them. And then to that brother, he told his servant, You put my cup in that younger boy's sack. And then after they had left that morning, he told him, now you get up and you go. You catch them. And you find my cup. And he started with the eldest of them. Got all the way to the youngest. And then when he opened the sack, there was Joseph's cup. And all of them rent their garments, because they'd said, let him be put to death, and we'll be thy servants. And Judah finally appealed to him keep me and let the lad go. For our father's life is bound up in the life of that lad. Keep me. And then he could not refrain any longer. And he said, I am Joseph. Afraid and trembling. Till he says, come near. Today's gospel, God speaks kindly to everyone. There is no language such as Joseph towards his brothers. Loved them dearly, but spoke roughly to them. Now, the only language from God today is that of kindness. If sin is mentioned, it is only in general terms. No mention of our crimes against the Son of God. Worse than that are preachers speaking as if all in their congregation are saved. Can't be negative, I might offend someone. Again, no mention of what you did. If you are a Christian, then your hands were laid on him in crucifixion. And in your hand was that old cat of nine tails that you lashed around his body and drug it out or back with flesh being pulled out. And yet nobody says anything about our crimes against the Son of God. But folks, the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, or the Word of God, never speaks kindly to one in the beginning. That'll only come after an acknowledgement of our actions against the Son of God's love. There we, by wicked hands, had a part in Him being crucified. And until I confess, it was for my sins He died. Until I confess that, God will never speak a word of peace or kindness or gentleness to my heart. It wasn't Pilate. It wasn't the Roman government. But it was Jesus' kinsman. Let His blood be on us. Pilate sought His release. But the crowd cried out, free Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost there in Acts 2 and said, ye men, by wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God. You did it. It was in God's plan. You remember last week, you brothers did this against me, but it was what God had planned to save you and much people alive in that He put me through all of this. You'll never know the love of God or the love of Christ until the words of Joseph's brothers are a living reality in your soul. Verily, I am guilty. And you seeing the anguish of his soul when you cast him in that pit. And we must, and only by the Spirit's work within, coming to know it was for my sin. You, if you are a Christian already, it was for your sins He died. If you ever have hope of being a Christian, that will be the confession of you. I am a sinner, guilty before God, committing all these crimes, just like Joseph's brothers against him. And for my sins, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And though the Lord was pleased to bruise him, pleased to make his soul an offering for sin, that was the determinate counsel of God, but it was for a people that might be saved and come to know him. By his stripes we are healed. Now why? Because of the love of God for his church. I told you a moment ago of his strange work. Now I want you to turn with me to Micah chapter 7. And all you got to do is just keep going past the major prophets towards the New Testament, and about five or six books you run into Micah. Micah 7. Everybody got it? Micah 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. I told you about God rising up to do his strange work. Takes no delight in casting folk into hell. But his strange work must be done if they trample underfoot the blood of his Son. He retaineth not his anger forever. Why, Lord? Because our God delights in mercy. Everyone here this morning, I do not believe that there's a one of you that have run past the deadline where the mercy of God has been removed and you will never know it. God delighteth in mercy. And it was after the actions of his brothers, their repentance, and then their works. Now, you're saying, I thought salvation was solely by grace and in faith. That's true. James said, though, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. After their hatred, after their plot to murder him, after selling him, after being falsely accused by a wicked woman, who was it that falsely accused our Lord? A wicked woman. A reprobate nation. The harlot of Israel. Bound in prison because she lied. Forgotten there. All this done because of jealousy, envy, hatred. By the brothers he loved. It wasn't the Jews that put Jesus to death, though that was done in the physical. It was his church. We are barely guilty. But our Lord endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I hate to ask you to go back. I should have told you, but back to Genesis 50. Let me read one more time now. Verse 21. Now knowing full well what his brothers did and what it cost him. Once again, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. Oh, peace, please, to do that here. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. They came back that last time because their father commanded them. You go to Joseph and you ask him to forgive you of all the evil that you did. And now to he spoke kindly. The sweetest, the kindest words that a guilty one can ever hear. Whispered by the Spirit of God in a conscience that has been brought under great conviction. You repented, and then there's that whisper of God in your soul, fear not. Fear not, I will nourish you. I'll nourish all your little ones. Don't ever give up mom and dad praying for these. That verse, after what these brothers had been through, it might be similar to one traveling in the desert, and all you've seen is sand in front of you and behind, and your water is all gone. And then over, looks like over the horizon a bit, you see something that looks like green foliage. And you've got your doubts, maybe the air, the layers there, maybe they're playing tricks on my eyes and it's just a mirage. But you get closer. And then you come to the place you realize those are living, green plants. And they can only be in the desert due to water. And you travel there and you find for the first time in a couple of days fresh water to drink. And oh, dear soul, no matter what all you've gone through or what's been said, or how the Spirit of God has convicted you, if you just keep marching towards that place, one day you'll run across that spring of cool water. No mirage. And as we often sing in our hymn, what more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. He can't say any more. He's told you the whole truth. You've got God's complete word to you. And how sweet it is at times to sit in that solitary place in that strange land. And you hear the one that you betrayed. And you hear the one that you had a part in his crucifixion. Fear not. I'll nourish you. Folks, if you don't take heed, one day you're going to be like my friend. And one second in hell, you'll remember these days and the times here. Or you can have that religion can never do. You can sit down under his shadow. Solomon 2:3, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Verse 4, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The love of God. The love of Joseph. Realizing that though their hands were guilty, doing all that to him, it was God's plan that they might be saved alive and others with them. And since he had sent them home that first time with money in their sacks and all were troubled, then his drinking cup, that silver cup in Benjamin's sack, now all of a sudden, you're sitting with the one in complete control of all Egypt. You're sitting there with him. And the banner over you is love. Or over the church, you're not, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. From the lips of Joseph, I am Joseph. Now, can you imagine meeting Christ John read to you about Saul of Tarsus? Had he never met him here, he would have met him at death. Had he never met him here, then he would have heard, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." So, from hearing and fear running through them, terror having laid hold of their heart when they knew that's Joseph standing right there. And now, instead of condemnation, he said, "I want to nourish you." Oh, what an oasis. You who are wandering around in this old world, what a green pasture. Still water for you to lie down in the greater judgment, speaking kindly to you. Instead of condemnation, I will nourish you. That'd be like that precious ointment that ran down Aaron's beard, down into the bottom of his skirt. It'd be an aroma that filled that place. And if you never hear the Lord Jesus say to you, "You are forgiven. All your sins, God's cast them behind his back. I paid for them all." And then we can say, as in Job 34, "When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble?" When God giveth quietness, nobody can. One last, Jeremiah 6:16. The Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. And you get into the major prophets, Jeremiah, second one, chapter 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Children, there'll be a lot of people. Well, there'll be people that'll be tugging on your skirt. Why don't you come with us? We got things for your children to do. No, you ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? Not the one way. And you walk therein and you shall find rest for your soul. And I hope this is not from you. But they said to Jeremiah, we will not walk therein. But for all of you that will follow the book, this grand, old, inspired Word of God, and that old path where Jesus is the fountain, and you get a thirsty, thirsty heart, soul, and oftentimes you found refreshment when you get to Him. The water of this old world, it will satisfy you, but it will only be momentarily. And then you got to have something new, another adventure, something else to try. But he who drinks of the water of life shall never thirst again. As a matter of fact, it shall be in you a spring of living water springing up. Now, your hope lies not in looking within, but looking at the one that is sitting on the throne. Your hope lies not within yourself, what you do, what you have done, but at the one that's in charge of all Egypt. Joseph spake kindly. You know what that means? The inner man, the heart. And there's a cross-reference in my mind there when Delilah saw that Samson told her his heart. These boys looking on. Fear not. Just come to me. I will nourish you. I will nourish your little ones. And he spake so kindly to them. When things are settled there between you and the one sitting on the throne, and the Spirit whispers those words to you that Joseph's brothers heard, fear not. I will nourish you. Then no fear arises when you hear the chariot wheels rumbling and getting closer, and then they turn down your street. Imagine the heart of Potiphar. I put him in prison. But especially the heart of his wife. I lied about him. The noise of those horses gets closer and closer to their dwelling. You can imagine nothing but fear all over. But it's different with a child of God because of the relationship with the one on the throne, with the one riding in the chariot. You know him. He's your brother if you've been born again. Sometimes your weeks will be tumultuous. Things go from bad to worse. And we thinking within, we like Ahab when Elijah came. Has thou found me out? Yeah, I found you. And the week's been difficult. Fear within, trouble without. And then you gather on the Lord's Day if your heart is prepared. And you prayed for the service and for the message. And the Lord opens the mouth of the minister. That's a little taste of heaven to your soul. A little oasis in your world of wilderness journey. And you come in, you gather in Jesus' name, and our Lord visits and restores our heart. And you have a fresh, cool drink of living water. And then He's so close, you can almost hear the words, "Come near, my brothers. Fear not. I will nourish you." And He comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Compare them with Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. Maybe even Pharaoh's servant that forgot about him for 2 years. He might dread meeting him. But whatever your condition, don't stay away from Him. As the dark clouds of death invade your sick bed somewhere down the road, may it be that you hear that gentle whisper within, "Rest, my child, my bride, my brother. I will see you safely through the valley of the shadow of death." I've read of many of the old Puritans put to death in many agonizing ways. But I've read also of the victorious cry from their lips as the flames burned off their extremities and the old body fell into the fire. They were still proclaiming, blessing the name of Jesus. When you want to go out that way, you're going to die. But you need not. Die without Him. What will you do with Him today? "Fear not, I've gone the way that you're headed. My beloved, the sting of death I've removed. The sting of death was sin, but I bore your sins. And now, because I arose from the grave, in the termination of everything, one day your old body will come up out of that grave. May have been disintegrated into a billion different little tiny particles. Buried at sea many, inland many. And you've gone back till there's nothing left of your body. And only a sovereign God could put all those particles together again. And you, like Job, in my flesh, I shall see God." But the flesh is not important right now. It's not important on death's bed. That's which is important, of eternal value. It's a right relationship with the one riding in the chariot with all the authority and power of Pharaoh bestowed upon him. And when Jesus Christ rose, it was the physical body. May He whisper to you, fear not. All is well. Might even give you a little glance into glory. That would cheer a fearful heart and whisper to you, fear not. I've nourished you all these years. I've kept you. And I promise that I will never leave or forsake you. Children, I would say I invite you to Christ, but there's no invitation in the Scripture. It is just all a command. Come ye to the fount. Come ye to the cross. And you stay there and you look up until you found out that one on the cross was bearing your sins and He's forgiven you. May God draw your soul. Would you bow with me? Our Father, everyone here's getting ready to get up and to leave. Some may not have heard a thing. Some may have heard everything, but it meant nothing to them. And there are those that you had a word for them. I pray you'll keep them. I pray that you will never let them go until in true repentance and faith they come to the blessed Lamb of God. Help them. Draw them, my Father, for Thy honor and glory, and keep them in safety. These that are not yet Christians, until you call them, protect them, be merciful unto them, and as we depart, go with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.